A motley band of heroes set sail, bound for a new life in a lonely island outpost. Beneath the waves, the shattered bones of a long-dead civilization. Treasures beyond the dreams of avarice. Dangers beyond the realm of nightmares. A tale 10,000 years in the making. This is the Raiders of the Lost Continent.
I have a little bit of a... I don't want to alarm anyone, but I have a little bit of a bone to pick this week.
Really?
Little tiny, niggling little bone.
You're not much of a bone picker.
I don't like picking bones. I don't like it. It's just like, there's no meat left on that bone. Leave that bone alone. That's my normal philosophy. Leave that bone alone. Now, sometimes you just got to pick at it, and that's what I tend to do. But before I get to that, let's welcome back recurring guest, Ari Rubin.
Yeah! Leave that bone alone.
Leave that bone alone.
Hey, teacher, leave that bone alone.
Ari, call him Ari O Speedwagon Rubin. We're glad to have you back.
I like that. Yeah, I'll take it. Ari O Speedwagon in the house.
A little Irish. A little touch of Irish about you.
Yeah.
So,
going on tour with Eddie Money and Corner. Check us out.
We're happy to have you back as a replacement for Matthew. They say no one can fill Matthew's shoes, but you proved them wrong.
And, size 9.5, baby.
So you've got a...
Busting out of them.
Yeah, you're a well-known, a prolific voice actor. You are the voice of my mom's favorite show, Dr. Paul.
Dr. Paul.
You said
Paul.
I don't know
who Dr. Paul is. A chiropractor in the Valley. Okay. Dr. Paul is a veterinarian who sees over 30,000 different patients.
Dr. Paul is the porno version of the show that you work on. And I didn't say, by the way, that it was my favorite show. I've never seen it. That's why I didn't know the name. But my mom loves it. So what else have you been up to lately? We haven't seen you in forever. What's going on?
I've actually been on Twitch. I've been doing a weekly Twitch show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific. Why isn't it called Western? Anyways, I've been doing that, and I've been having just a ton of fun doing that. Also, I'm still frightened of the virus, and I stay inside and yell at people to put on masks who just are walking outside having a nice day.
Good. That's good. And, Ari's show is really fun. It's really funny. And it tends to happen right as we're wrapping one of our shows.
I think New Game Who Dis. It's like right after New Game Who Dis.
So, yeah, I didn't plan that. What? I wasn't trying to get your scraps.
So, but let's throw him some scraps regardless of his plans. Just go ahead and tune in. The user will throw up a link. Someone will in the chat at the end of our show. Go check his out. It's really great. All right. What was the name of your show? What do you call it?
Well, my Twitch handle is Ari Rubin Live, but the name of the show is Alone with Ari. But yeah, that's it.
Great.
So it's Ari Rubin Live. Check that
out. You have guests and a lot of laughs. It's very fun.
I personally guarantee laughs. Every time I've seen it, I've cracked up. There's a lot of funny shit out there.
Wow. A personal guarantee. I mean,
yeah, I personally
you don't get those
guarantee.
Every day.
I mean, I said it years ago when I was first trying to pitch Ari to come in and do some stuff for Glass Cannon to Troy. I was just like, he is one of the funniest fucking people I've ever met. He just, you crack me up. You've always been so funny. And it's funny to hear that you moved back to the West Coast, because that's when I originally met you. You were out there. And for years, we worked together just via email. And then when
that's
you moved
right.
to New York, I was like, this is incredible. And then we started actually hanging out. And you hung out with my wife and I on one of our first dates.
And Troy. Troy was the
Troy's
bartender.
Bar. Yeah.
Troy,
oh, wow.
Troy was the bartender, and some random drunk person was trying to, like, pick a fight with us and your now wife and Troy and me.
Well, that was Troy's bar.
That's one of my buddies. Or a homeless person.
Hard to tell the difference.
Or both. We used to see Ari pretty often, I feel like. I used to actually get to see you in person, and it was great. I don't see anyone anymore, obviously, but that was it was nice having you around. I'm sorry you're not anymore. Hopefully you guys find your way out here again.
Yeah, I'd like that.
So,
I miss New York.
But anyway, throw Ari a bone for his show one night. What is that, Wednesday? What night is that?
What a plug.
Is that Wednesday? Is that on YouTube Live? Anyways, check him out.
Check him out.
Yeah, you go. Show him a bone. Have pity on this man, please.
What night is it?
It's on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific. It is a good show. I always have it on so I can boost your numbers.
Oh, thank you.
So, but I don't listen because I have other things to do. But I will next time. It looks hilarious. Anyway, throw him a bone. Speaking of bones, let's get to the bone that I want to pick. Are you guys caught up on WandaVision? Have you guys seen that show, the Marvel show?
Yes. I have not watched an episode.
Haven't watched it. All right, have you seen it?
Loved it.
I'd like to.
Okay, all right. So, well, Troy, I don't want to spoil anything for Troy. I know he hates spoilers.
Yeah. Do you want to take my phone cans off?
Take them off.
All right. Give me the high sound.
Okay. So,
finally, he's not listening. Oh, gosh.
Let it all out now, all
right. Troy, am I right?
So, I have a problem with something that happens in several stories, and it happened in WandaVision. So there are, I don't want to get too into detail, spoil anything for anyone out there listening, but there are witches in the story. It's a story about Scarlet Witch, you know. So there is a flashback to a coven of witches. It's like Salem, Massachusetts, like, you know, 1623. And, you know, they do all their things, and it's like, oh, right? So I always have a problem with this, because Salem witch trials were a genuine tragedy that happened on proto-American soil. Several people lost their lives needlessly, and it serves as a cautionary example, a hard won and too often ignored lesson about the dangers of hysteria, mob mentality. And that's something that, you know, Arthur Miller used to great effect in The Crucible during the McCarthy hearings. So it's this horrible, tragic event in American history, like all these needless lives lost. And it's just like, they were actually witches.
It is messed up. Totally has perpetrated so many forms of pop culture over like the last 40 years, 50 years. Like, there's so many different renditions of it, and it's always like, but that's the thing, is like, they were actually witches.
Yeah, they were actually, but those people died for a great reason, because there were witches, and they the only tragedy is they didn't get them all. That's what you're saying. And maybe I'm being a stick in the mud or something, priggish, but I think I don't care for that.
I personally just think that it's unnecessary. I don't see all it does, I guess, is allows people to be like, oh, cool, like viewers to be like, oh, cool, that's clever. Like, you know, you're doing a new twist on the Salem witch trials, like rather than just like, you could do the same environment, the same everything. Just don't say Salem, Massachusetts. And you have the story the quality is still there. It's just the same.
Yeah.
But everybody just wants to drop in Salem whenever you mention witches to give it like legitimacy or something. Yeah. And that's just the total opposite of how that whole event should be thought of.
I know. Really died.
Grappled with this a lot, actually, and it's a criticism of Lovecraftian fiction. It often externalizes the other and turns them into like an exotic source of evil power.
Yep.
Luckily, with Delta Green and also Call of Cthulhu, they recontextualize it and they give, more credence and they go into history. They explain things. They don't just see things. It's more akin to like watching an occult movie set within the Catholic Church, that type of thing, rather than that. So it's tough to take real events and make them silly like that, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is a statute of limitations on some of this stuff, but it's like, this is something, it's just something so uniquely tragic that has things to teach us now that aren't, oh, there were witches back then. That's not the lesson we're supposed to take from what happened there.
Right. And I think it's obviously important because the lesson is not, it's not like been learned. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like we all moved on
saying.
From this problem of hysteria and mob mentality. Like, it still happens. So right. It's just like, you know, we shouldn't be tossing aside these, like you said, cautionary tales.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't teach the opposite of the lesson that we should be taking from this. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Because you know what? Kids are watching this, man. Kids are watching this.
So wait, are you saying they weren't witches?
This is the point I'm trying to make. But, you know, I
grew up a half an hour away from there, and
I
you
know,
were just told, stay out of that town. Total witches, you know.
It's cursed from the witches that died there. Justly.
Justly. So.
So, speaking of witches, which direction are you going to
there
turn
it is.
Now?
Oh, wow.
How does he do it?
I start running in concentric circles before Invisibility Purge runs out to see if I catch this other hound.
And ever-expanding
circles. Yeah, this other hound, the missing hound. Can I roll a knowledge check to see what that could mean? Could it mean extraplanar travel? Could it have actually left this plane? Can they routinely go in and out that quick, or is it probably just hiding somewhere?
Yeah, give me a knowledge planes.
You know what? I'm going to take 20 on it. I get it four times a day, okay. And this will be my second. What the fuck? Let's do it. I'll take 20.
Okay, yeah. So you really think about it, and you have a decent amount of experience with phenomena like this, and
yeah, planar travel
like
especially, yeah.
Yeah, and you've probably studied like these exact creatures. This is like one of the hazards of, for example, traveling through the drift, like you said, is you can run into stuff like this, like horrors out of space. So yeah, you know a little bit, and so you think that either it could be lying in ambush somewhere outside of your area of protection, found another rooted angle somewhere to teleport to. Or it could have just fled because it was very badly hurt. So maybe it just ran away.
Gotcha.
And it could be in a completely other plane of existence because they can do that too. The other one, you're sure, the other one's body is lying dead at your feet. So you know that one's dead. The other one, you're not sure, but it could have run away, could be waiting for another opportunity. You don't know.
The other thing I'm wondering about, is their intelligence level? Maybe it's because they're called the Hounds of Tyndalus or whatever, like they have a master or whatever. Like, are they just random creatures that showed up here, or are they in the service of someone else? Would they be able to communicate our location to someone else? That type of thing is what I'm worried about now.
Well, Azura would be able to tell you that they are extremely intelligent and very cunning. They right. are, yeah, they're certainly not mindless creatures by any stretch. So, they could conceivably be in service of someone of greater power, but not necessarily.
Right.
So, yeah.
They could be operating on their own accord.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would I know from my knowledge check on them, like what their normal motivations are or drives, especially if they're intelligent creatures, like, do they just kill for the joy of killing? Do they seek out certain kinds of creatures or environments? Like, what motivates their travel to a plane, for example?
Their minds are so alien that it's pretty difficult to even guess what motivates them most of the time. They do seem to be cruel. They will often enter the physical world in pursuit of those who stretch thin the boundaries between planes and time.
Hmm.
That is often when they will strike.
And that seems to be what's happening here. Yeah, that's what's happening here. It's like somebody was trying to make it this gateway. Does Azora have any advantage? I know she's not really from this time and place, but does she have any advantage as an elf to know about that magic? And if they were close to being successful at it, or if this thing could actually work, or if it's like really far off, or
you think that this, based on just your previous checks, you think this thing probably works, but it would just take a very long time. It could take days, weeks, or months of calculations, trial and error, to actually get it to work properly.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I kind of like that. I like that idea. It's like, yeah, this thing is not going to work without like a 500-page manual that you have to like commit to memory. You know what I mean? That you have to know before you can really.
Yeah, and even possibly the people who built it may not have known how to use it quite right, because it does look like a copy, a knockoff of Elvish teleportation Ayudara technology.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was also used as a perspective point to make these calculations, which is interesting.
Oh, and there is one other thing. I just completely screwed this up. So, what you should have noticed when these creatures appeared was red runes glowing on their bodies and matching runes glowing on certain of the pillars.
Kind of buried the lead there, Mar.
I did. It's not like a hugely important thing, but it could have affected your approach to them. I will say, actually, Azura, what with your checks, like, you would have been able to guess that if you had shifted the dials, the bands around the base of the pillars in a certain way, you could have disrupted their connection to this plane.
Right.
And you could still try that.
Hmm.
So,
So it's not necessarily a portal that you walk through. It's like a leash almost, or something that has to remain active for them to remain here.
Well, I think it was originally intended as a portal you walk through, but it's not working correctly.
Oh.
But it has, I think, little powers like that. Well, if she can reason that, then she'll do that. Like, now. Like, she'll do something to disrupt so that they can't come back in or something. So more of them don't come, basically.
I just worry about if it's a role-based thing. If you fail it, like, sliding it in a way where other creatures from another world are going to come sliding in and be like, oh, hey.
Yeah. I think I know what I'm doing, Colonel. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for your concern.
Okay, so give me... give me a... So you have an idea of one of the bands to try this on. So give me a strength check to try to move it.
Oh, wow.
Drakeus?
My strength check.
Help me with this?
Yep.
And I do successfully aid, actually.
So okay.
That's two.
The total is a 16.
Okay, so you're able, like, these things have been locked in place for thousands of years, but with the two of you working together, you're able to, like, budge it loose, and, like, it starts, like, creaking in its path in this groove along the base of the pillar. Give me a spellcraft check.
Oh, dear. This is when it gets real, Lavallee. You better take the curtle and step back. Here we go. Not a great roll. 16.
Okay. So, you move it, you're guessing at where to align this thing. And there's a little sort of indicator arrow on the band, and you line it up with one of the crystal circuits in the pillars, like, chunk, and it, like, clinks into place. And this, like, kind of flash of light shoots up the circuitry and lights up a couple of the symbols on the pillars, like, boom, boom. It's like, ooh, and you feel this sort of, like, vibrating around you. It's like, ooh.
Everyone, and then it's yourselves. Just like,
ooh, and it just dies, and the light in the runes dies out, and then nothing.
And then nothing. It is beyond my skill, I think. I don't think we're going to find out anything else here. And we'll have to keep a lookout. Perhaps this is how those chaos beasts got in as well. Strange extraplanar creatures.
That's a good point.
Making an appearance on this island. So do we move on at this point? Does Azora feel like there's nothing else that she can do with this thing?
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to devote the rest of your life to studying the mechanics of this.
What is she... Does she feel like it has... The way you're describing it, it sounds to me like this is a project of the Aslanti academic elite, that scientists that, whether it worked at one time or not or whatever, had like no real direct impact on their overall power or their how they came to be destroyed or anything like that. Like, the secrets don't seem to be locked within this to her. Is that safe to say? Was this just like an advanced technology that didn't quite pan out?
Yeah, you really have no way of knowing. I mean, it could be something that they were able to use at one point. It could be something that they themselves were not really able to unlock the secrets of, and maybe they never got it to work. Maybe it did work. Maybe the Aslanti used it to escape. Some of them used it to escape this world into another when Earthfall came. Yeah,
so
you don't really know.
This is where her concerns lie, is like, what if this thing was the way that some Aslanti traveled beyond the stars and began an entirely new civilization that she is familiar with. You know what I mean? Like, is this the way it happened? It would be, you know, if that was the case, then she would certainly devote years to figuring out how they did it. But
do you, anyone who has a history, give me a history check.
I have history. 13.
I can try here. Let's see. 21.
Okay. So, yeah, neither you or the Colonel know of any instance of the mention of the Aslanti being successfully using this kind of elvish teleportation technology. There's no record of it as far as you can remember.
Okay.
This is something the elves use to great effect to escape to their whatever Venus is.
Okay.
There's no
Castrovel?
Record. It's like Castrovel, but there's no record of the Aslanti. You know that they wanted it, and the elves were very protective of their knowledge of the technology. But as far as you know, the Aslanti never mastered it themselves.
All right, in that case, Azora is just going to take a little time, and she's going to sketch this whole thing in her book.
Sure.
The pillars, the symbols, she'll take a couple pages up to mark it in there, because she's like, this may become very important later if we learn more.
Okay.
And then she's good to go if everybody else wants to move on.
You're sure you don't want to spend the rest of your life studying this? Because we'll wait.
I'm honestly thinking about it. Let's move south.
I will say too. Actually, everybody give me a wisdom check.
Now we're talking.
Well,
Troy, come on. You got to bring your A game, dude. I got a 14. I'm not as wise as you.
I'm switching dice.
7.
16.
Drakeus, it occurs to you that if you, because you went from a distance, you were able to see the tallest pillar.
Uh-huh.
It occurs to you that if you climb this pillar and get atop it, you would get a much better view of the area around you, of anything in the area.
Yeah, 60 feet up.
I believe that is a step 4 in making love to a Lokatha. So, do I need a climb check to do that?
Climb
that
the pole.
That would be a climb check.
Natural 1 for a 10.
Okay. You try. You're like, you're scrabbling down, and you're not able to get up past the band.
Try again, Drakeus. You can
all
do
right.
It.
I'm sorry.
You're
just
better than that.
I'm so distracted by all this strange technology. I don't know what technology is. 16.
yeah, that's still, you're scrambling up and you just can't get a handhold, foothold, this thing. You can see they're there, but it's just, it's tricky.
It was worth a try, Vitruvius.
Yeah, Hedley is also very badly hurt. To point that out.
I believe I can fly. I can do it, I swear.
Let's get some heals in. Let's get some.
Did anybody
heals.
Else get hit? Because I could channel. Oh, yeah.
Azura's way down.
All right, then I'll do a little channel McGee then. I think. Okay, let's start with one and see how everybody's doing.
Where are you at? Are you at 3d6? 4d6?
4d6.
Nice.
4d6 four times a day, baby. Yeah. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 on the first one.
All right, so heal yourself 13 there, Ari.
Yep. How does that bring you, Azura?
That brings me to just above half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, these things did tons of damage.
All right, then I'll keep burning here. Oh, terrible. 9, 10, 11... 12 on the second one.
Ugh. Oh, brutal. That's fine. Just leave it at that for channels, and I will burn some Cure Light. Where are you at, Ari?
Do I take that second 12 that Troy said, or was that for somebody else?
You take it as damage, though.
Don't confuse him.
I'm up to 38.
38. All right.
I'm at 52, so I'm okay.
Okay, that's fine. Take another 8. Oh, there you go. And another 11. And you should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And great. I'm good, too. I burned 3 Cure Light wounds between the two of us.
Okay. So, yeah, Drakius, like, you feel like you can do this, but you have a danger. Like, if you can, it'll take 2 checks. You can fail all you want on the first check and you won't hurt yourself. But if you get halfway up and then fail by enough, you could fall and hurt yourself.
Got it. I don't mind hurting myself. It's kind of what I was born to do.
Good man.
So let's roll dangerously.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, that should do it. 23.
Okay, that you're able to. Drakus is climbing like Tarzan halfway up. He gets halfway up the pillar. We're all rooting for him. Can't you inspire confidence, Azura?
I can, yeah.
Yeah.
I will inspire confidence and give you a +2 on that check. I think it's +2 at this stage.
Drakus is just like barely holding on to the edge of this pillar.
No, it's +3.
Oh, nice.
It's really crumbly and old with all these runes and all these crystalline enhancements on it. And he's like, oh, and then he sees Azura look up at his hurt little butt. And he feels stronger again.
Well, she's probably pointing out like handholds because that's the way she operates.
Yeah, exactly. She's just like, just to the right of your right foot, just to the right of your right foot. Slide over. It's there. Trust me. It's there.
She inspired the perfect amount of courage because Drakius rolled a natural 20 for a 32.
Damn.
He scrambles up there.
Like an ape of the forest. You make your way to the top. And yeah, you pull yourself up to the top of this pillar. And yeah, you can see, like, you're above the trees. You can see 4 miles around. You feel like if you pulled out your spyglass, you would be able to see a great deal around you. However, make a quick perception check now.
Okay, this is good. It's time to take those lenses for what they were made to do, which is peeping.
Yeah.
29 without any modifiers for my ranger abilities.
Okay, well, it's not too hard to see. You spot, as soon as you set your feet on top of this thing, you see on the ground, on the top of this thing, you see a what looks like a little tiara and a dimly glowing Iun stone.
Wow.
At Grant, your feet.
Grant would like to jokingly say he puts on the tiara and feels beautiful for the first time in months, but not knowing if it's a cursed tiara or not.
Oh, just put it on. It's going to be phenomenal.
All right, Drakius looks at it and thinks about how his mother used to look so pretty when they would go out to see the opera. Yeah. He thinks back to that time and puts the tiara on his head. Does anything happen to him?
His head snaps back. His eyes roll back in his head.
You try to pick this thing up, and it is somehow, it feels like it's glued to the surface of the pillar. It's difficult. You'll have to roll a strength check to pull it up.
Thor's hammer.
Oh. This is no way to form a government, by the way. Okay, I'll do the strength check. That is going to be a 19.
Yeah, you're able to... it's like an incredibly powerful magnet is holding this thing in place, but you're able to pull it free with your mighty strength. And you put it on?
Yes.
Okay.
Committed to this bit.
All right. You put it on, and you don't feel any different.
But do I look prettier?
You look beautiful, Drakeus. Now bring it down here and let me have a look at it.
Am I able to snatch the Ion Stone before I backflip off of this 60-foot high thing?
Give me another strength check.
Okay, come on, baby. Come on, Daddy needs a new pair of... this is a 15.
Okay, you are able to pull the Ion Stone up also.
These are tough checks. I hate ability score checks without having any of the benefits of points that you've invested over time. But I've invested in my lats, and they are sweet.
Right.
Okay, so Drakeus will climb on down and hand these items over to...
Well, you didn't actually do what you went up there to do yet.
Oh, yes. Survey the land.
Okay.
I thought that's what the perception check was for. I'm sorry.
No. That
I'm
was just the
discombobulated.
Sorry. All right. So you pull out the spyglass, swoop, snap it open, and give me another perception check.
Okay.
With your magic eyes.
I will also inspire competence. Plus okay. 3.
35 with no modifiers.
Ooh, man. That's crazy. All right. So you spend a few minutes looking around, and you see to the south, in the area where you were told the garden was, the Garden of Lights, you can see like a collection of sort of shattered stones off like a mile and a half to the south. Like you can see it like kind of surrounded by swamp. And you see off to the east, you see some flying creatures. And you're not sure, like, what they are. You zoom in a little bit with the spyglass, get a good look, and they're actually giant bees.
Oh,
you see a couple of them, like, boom, they'll pop up above the trees for a second, and then, boom, go back down.
Oh, that's scary.
Way off to the east. And that's all you're able to see from up here.
Okay. Come down and report my findings and hand over the two head slot items.
Okay.
Wishing I had a second head at this moment.
What is it to identify an iron stone? Is it spellcraft?
Just spellcraft.
The same as always? Okay. Let's try a spellcraft check. Azora, 23.
This is a dusty rose prism iron stone.
Okay. I've heard of that.
It gives you a plus one insight bonus to AC.
Oh, man.
Oh,
phenomenal. What's wrong with that?
Phenomenal. And then the tiara is a 21.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, 23. I forgot elves get a plus two to identify magical
and
items.
I'll aid you with a... I aid. I successfully aid. So
25.
So, yeah, this is a lovely, very sort of delicately crafted silver headband, and it is a circlet of persuasion.
Ooh. Oh, awesome.
It gives the wearer a plus 3 competence bonus on any charisma-based checks.
Wow. Wow. That would be great for you, Azura, right?
Yeah, it'd be great, especially if I can ever... pull off like a charm person or something like that. You can push them to
sorcerer,
do stuff.
Right?
Yeah,
that would be better. I wouldn't mind that rose prism iron stone. How many iron stones can you have at once? Just one.
Just one.
Get rid of my dull gray one, unless somebody else wants that.
Did you say it was cracked or flawed? Sorry.
No, it's dusty. It's intact.
So it's plus one insight bonus to AC, right?
Yeah.
Wow, I want that too.
Okay, that's two. Who else is in?
I'll let you guys do it. You guys take most of the hits, so
okay. It's all you, Mayor Drake, I think.
That is a 10.
4.
Ooh!
The rich get richer. Where are you at, Drakeus? AC
with AC, let me turn off haste and I think that's a adjustments haste from the last battle, inspired courage. It doesn't affect that, but I'll turn it off as well. So I get a clean read. That'll put me at a 22, which isn't great, but isn't awful.
No, it's good. It's good.
Dusty Rose Prism. I'm going to call this prism the American Dream, which is a joke only for Troy.
Zephyr.
Okay, so you guys feel like you've exhausted your possibilities here. What do you want to do next?
I want to go to the Garden of Lights. I don't think I want to go trying to mess around with giant bees. Unless I have to. Your thoughts, Ari?
Yeah, I'm allergic to bees.
Oh no.
Oh, no, Hedley is interested in the Garden of Light. I believe sounds quite adventurous. Would achieve the goal. Set goal of showing my one true love that I am a man. I'm a big, strong man.
A place to prove your worth.
Exactly.
To your love.
The
God your piscine love.
Colonel, you good with that?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. All right. Then let's head to the Garden of Lights.
Okay. You guys head through the forest. You know exactly where it is now, having actually seen it. But give me a survival check to navigate your way through the forest to find it.
Natural one.
Come on, Drakeus.
He walks right into the water.
I got a 3. I follow Troy.
Yes, right this way, Edley. Splish, splash, splish.
The Dusty Rose Ion Prism, the American Dream, gives me such great insight, even though that's not what it's technically supposed to do. I got an 18 on the die for a 29.
Oh, beautiful. So Drakeus guides your path through the forest, and you're able to reach this clearing right at around the end of day, right at dusk. And let me move you guys.
Perfect time to get to a Garden of Lights.
Oh, yeah. Best time. All right, let me go ahead and reveal.
Oh, I'm going to miss that map page.
That was a good map page.
It was a good map page.
You had a good run.
Yeah, it served us well.
It was very helpful to be able to look at the other rooms we'd been in and be like, oh, right.
Yeah, that's one thing, because what I do is I just take the whole map page from the portfolio and put them on one Roll20 page. So yeah, you can look back and see the places you've been.
There are things that I remember.
So
my life, those have changed.
All right. This looks awesome. And a total social encounter. So everybody get ready.
That's what you'd think. So yeah, you approach this thing, the trees part, and you see what looks like a large flower-shaped monument that bears two sets of carvings on its stone petals, now sunken into the earth. You can see the first set depicts the sun setting near the stone monument, although it looks quite different when this was made. In days past, and you can see what looks like radiant globes flying overhead in a complex and attractive formation. And there's a second set of carvings that shows a bee flying from a hexagonal building to what looks like a temple. And as the sun sets, one by one, dozens upon dozens of lights appear in the darkness, hovering like ghostly lanterns above the fetid waters of the marsh. And they lift up, and they all start to slowly, gracefully converge, bobbing through the air on this monument. Do you remember what you were told at Hullhold? How to approach these creatures?
I don't.
You bring your buns, I wrote it down.
Grant, got the notes.
He's got the notes.
I wonder if they're like will-o-wisps. Thinking of like Ghostlight Marsh.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing as soon as they were mentioned.
Souls of former inhabitants.
I'm going to take this moment to say Azura is going to sheathe her weapon and pull out a wand. She's got a wand in her hands.
Okay.
As we approach here.
Okay. And you can see, as Grant is looking at his notes, you can see the four of these globes break formation and they move towards you. They don't seem like particularly aggressive. They're not like charging, but they're like, whoo, kind of like moving and kind of circling around your group, kind of checking you out, it seems like.
The Weirwoods told us that there are ghost lanterns that reside in the southwestern part of the island where we currently stand. Intelligent floating balls of light. There's a place they gather at dusk. They know everything that happens on the islands. The stories say that you should carry a lantern or other light source or else you will be viewed as enemies. Dracius reaches into his backpack, moves aside the wetsuit and the snorkel, pulls out a torch and lights it.
Okay.
Azura actually has an Ioun torch. So she's got an Ioun stone that like emanates light that she can release and just starts flying around her head, emanating light.
Okay. So the globes of light, when they see that you've produced these lights, they just sort of, they pause. And there's this air of anticipation, like they're seeing what you do next. Anyone who has dungeoneering, give me a dungeoneering check.
Uh-huh.
Dungeoneering.
Yeah, Hedley has this.
I have rolled
a 9
for 15.
Okay, 15.
I aid Dudley.
Azura goes on her own, gets a 22.
Hedley.
22 for Azura.
Okay, so you recognize that these are, in fact, will-o-wisps.
Oh, cool.
Give me another difficult dungeoneering check to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, holy crap.
Who has the highest bonus?
Bad news.
I only have a +6, so I'll roll to aid. I aid.
Got it. Now I got a natty 19.
Yes!
Okay. I was so nervous with that roll, but that, sorry, Skid, that is a 31.
Okay. So, you remember in the recesses of your elven mind some will-o-wisp flight patterns that you can try to mimic with your light sources. Give me either an acrobatics or if you have performed dance check to try to correctly perform a greeting.
Let me try it. I've got a good acrobatics.
Okay.
Can you do anything to boost your... I'm looking through my plant spells. I doubt there's anything I can do to give you a boost, but maybe you have something. A buff?
Only if it's not charisma-based. This is all how you move.
What if I bestow a curse upon you where you get a +40 to acrobatics, but then you immediately die?
I think it would be worth it.
It would definitely be worth it.
Or something in the middle.
I have quite high acrobatics.
Oh yeah, what's your acrobatics?
+13.
Oh, that's pretty juicy. She'll
Niccolo
say
Niccolo interpretation
and a high
spell.
Diplomacy.
What if all I cast? So she's gonna come over and explain to you, like, look at them, Hedley. Look at the way they move. We have to mimic this with the light. And she'll give you this Ayun torch that she has, and you know, give you some idea of how to control it, and explain to you what to do. But she knows your natural instincts will kick in. But as part of that explanation, she'll do inspire competence. So it's another plus +3.
Oh wow!
So you should be a plus +16 on the check.
Wow. Okay.
So that's an 18.
So you rolled a natural 2?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Damn.
Okay.
They Give me look, that thing.
Yeah, they start to look angry. Like they start like kind of like vibrating. You feel like you may have one more shot at this.
Let me give it a shot. She'll take it and
listen. Stop. I'm done giving Joe chances to prove that he's okay at role-playing games, all right? It's time for Drakeus to step in to the big boy pants that he wears every goddamn day. Here comes my acrobatics check.
Okay.
Well, hold on. What is your acrobatics?
It's a plus +12, dude.
Okay, then I'll do inspire competence again.
Okay. Plus +15?
I'll say, give me that thing. Drakeus, you do it. so plus +15, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I believe this is now, we're on step 9. Step 9, here we go. 17, 29 okay. plus the 3 is a 32. It's a charmed life, baby.
Okay, step nice. If you want something done, just sick Grant on it. It'll be done.
That's what you had to do. So Drakeus is graceful enough with Azura's instruction to be able to mimic a greeting. So now you get the sense that they know that you're not here to fight, you're here to talk. So they just kind of like, they back off a little bit, but they still, there's still this like feeling of expectancy. And you feel this sort of like some kind of weird humming noise like coming from them that you can't really place. You're not sure if... You're not sure if they're like, they're friendly or hostile or not, but you feel like at least they won't attack you for now.
I could, if I had comprehend languages, I could try that.
Can we try to mimic the vibrating sound?
Hmm.
Hold on, I have something in my bag.
Yeah, I'm trying to look through to see what I might have. Does it sound like a bee? Like, because I saw a bee on the, we saw a bee stone. Okay.
You would know from your dungeoneering check that they speak Aklo. Will-o-wisps ordinarily speak Aklo, Azura.
And I speak Aklo.
There you go.
Okay. So she'll step up after Drakeus has calmed them down. She'll walk by Drakeus and just sort of tap him on the shoulder and be like, well done, Drakeus. And she'll step in front of Drakeus and Headley, and speaking in Aklo, she'll say, we have heard that you know all there is to know about this island and its inhabitants. We are curious to learn the history of this place and learn all we can about what's happening here.
Okay. Give me a diplomacy check. That's diplomacy, right?
Yes, yes. She's trying to be diplomatic, yeah.
Okay. Give me a diplomacy check.
Okay. Circlet of persuasion.
Okay.
That is a 28.
28. Okay. You hear the buzzing sort of morphs into what's almost like laughter.
Foolish mortals, why should we treat with you?
There is great evil consuming the islands of this sea. We hope to right the wrongs of the past. That is all.
You guys didn't hear my voice mod thing because I had the wrong thing hooked up. You'll hear it now.
It's still pretty good.
You speak with hurried tongue, and you speak our tongue, not the tongue of the oppressor. We are mildly
Amazing. Amazing.
What do you wish of us, foolish mortals?
What is this place? What happened here? And she's sort of gesturing to the shattered stones.
We may tell you. We may. But first, you must do a service for us.
I love this so much!
This is the best voice in the history of the
network. I have been waiting for this so long, so I appreciate your...
Do you hear it in your headphones?
I do, yeah.
Because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I've been working on this.
So. Great work, Skip.
Oh, I thought nothing could top
For the Emperor.
Yeah. But,
For the Emperor.
This is definitely better. Amazing. All right, so... sorry, what did you say? I was so caught up in the voice.
So they said they will talk to you if you do a service for them.
That's right, that's right. What, and again, responding in Aklo, what service would you have us do? And she's like a little nervous.
There is a place, a cluster of pillars to the northeast. There are creatures that reside there. Kill them both. Free it from their presence and remate.
We've encountered the pillars you speak of. We've already... Drakeus, and she gestures to Drakeus, has already defeated one of them. Another was very injured and escaped. We were unable to destroy it, but as far as we can tell, it is not at the columns.
An easy claim to make. What proof have you, mortals?
Drakeus, you normally take the eyes of any kill, right?
Of course. Who could ever leave behind these glorious, amber, bulbous eyes of the hounds that we fought? I have a trophy case. I have it all inside of my bag of holding.
I will say, Grant, you do have a doubloon. If you want to trade it in to say that you did do that retroactively, I'll allow that.
A narrative doubloon?
A narrative
doubloon. I have two doubloons right now, right?
I think, yeah, you probably do, yeah.
All right, then I'll trade in one for that. It's worth it. It's okay. Worth it, so we don't have to deal
walk
with these
all the way back there.
Stupid walks.
Hold on. All the way back.
It is literally like a Skyrim quest. Like, you're like, it you is. Could pay us 300 gold now or walk halfway across the map and back in 40 minutes. Like,
and you don't have fast travel?
Yeah, I'll just fucking walk. I'm keeping every coin of this gold.
We should use the proof of our prowess as a way to turn the tables on them for them to pay us to take care of this thing on top of their help. Yeah!
Okay, so Drakeus will, like, pull out one of those weird amber eyes of this thing.
It's normally the crimson eye of Cerebus, but in this instance, it's the yellow eye of the Tyndalus.
I love this, too. It's like Azura speaking their language to them and translating for the rest of you, and yeah, this is
yeah,
cool.
It's just, I mean, I put Aklo on that sheet how long ago? Never in a million years did I think that she'd actually use it. That's great.
And they see this, and there's this more like buzzing, like excited buzzing. And they respond.
You must be strong indeed to best the hounds. We are impressed indeed. What do you wish to know?
The columns, were they ever used successfully? Did they ever teleport anyone beyond the stars?
The columns are now our business. You need not worry about them. However, we can say we do not think the ugly bags of meat and bone that oppressed us for thousands of years were able to use it.
Who were you?
Better to ask who we are. We are who we are.
Yes, then. Who are you?
We are the spirits that dwell here. We were once enslaved, but are no longer. We have free will and physical freedom.
What did they use you for? The oppressors. The bags of meat and bone.
And there's this big buzz. This is big buzzing now. It's just like angry. Now it does sound like giant bees.
Humans who once lived here used this place as a lure to capture our kind in glass globes. You ask why? To use us as rats. Rats. Illumination for their entertainment.
And there's
That is horrible. And I'm sorry for the way you were treated. Happy now that they are long dead. They got what came to them. They got what was coming for their misdeeds in life. Were you here when the sky fell? Did you see them die?
Yes, we did. We saw them die. Stones came from the sky, hurtling down, flame and smoke smashed their fragile bodies to dust and cinder.
Is there anything you guys want to ask?
You as our translator?
Or you can just talk and we'll assume that she's translating.
I just want to hear Skid do more of that voice.
I know.
It's your life story.
So good.
I can go into more of this.
The humans called this place Zanastan. They built many buildings, machines, and temples here. Once it was a group of hills, but when their end came and the sea swallowed the continent of Iceland, the silent was all that remained of Zanastan.
Oh, cool. Did you see... what is the word in Aklo? Faceless stalkers on the island. Did they ever come here?
You hit like the word exactly.
You speak of the Ugathol.
Yes, that's right, the Ugathol.
They live in caves to the north, or they used to. We heard they're on the move. We thought you were there when you first arrived at our garden.
Let's talk about a little bit about Arkley and just, you know, I don't want to roleplay the whole thing, but basically say how, like, we came, the first colonists were gone, and then we found one of the men, but he's, like, all blue now, and just kind of explain to them that, see if that rings a bell about anything.
Sounds like the work of the Ulatini, perhaps. Creatures of the sea, yet they crawl upon land from time to time. Some of them live in a half-sunken temple on the east coast. They like it on the sea. They don't care for the land. But when they do, crawl upon the rocks. We like to scare them. So delicious is death here.
You said to the east, north, south, or straight across?
The temple is to the east, and a beat to the north.
Awesome.
Oh, we have to check that out.
Yeah, holy shit, that's a big break in the old case, as they say. The people that might have done this to Arkley?
Yeah.
Do they... I'm not sure if they'd be familiar with this, but do you know if they speak Akwan? These Ulatini.
Bother to communicate with them. We speak only the language of fear. Our presence is all that is necessary for that.
Because didn't we, when we first got here, that one tower that we went to where we saw a blinking light, wasn't there Akwan, like, written on the walls?
There was Aklo on the map.
Oh, okay. Aklo, not Akwan. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember, but yeah.
Is there anything else to the south of the island? Any points of interest? Or is it all just jungle, open sand beaches?
Birds and beasts only. Nothing we know of.
What else are you looking for? Why are you here?
We're looking for the other colonists and to try to track the Faceless Stalkers. That's what I assumed. So if they left, I would want to know which direction they went. It sounds like they don't know. It sounds like they think they might have left, but they didn't see which direction they went. But she can ask, you know, did you see them leave? Did you see a boat leave here? And you know, could suppose that it was the Faceless Stalkers, because we can confirm for them that they left. Like, they're not in their right cave. We went to their cave.
Yeah. Well, do you know, like, they told you about the Faceless Stalkers, but you haven't asked about the colonists.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. So that'll be the next thing, is like, have you seen any humans that like, and she points to Drakeus and the Colonel and Headley, any humans recently on the island?
Many humans lived here in ages past, but they're long gone. However, we have heard more humans have come here recently. We think the Ulatkini have them in the Broken Temple.
That's it.
Oh, that's wow. That's huge.
And we'll see you next time, too.
We're getting there. We're really doing it.
Wow.
It all comes home.
Oh, Skid.
He's coming home.
Congratulations.
He's coming home.
Good voice.
They may tell you it's not coming home, but let me get to you news. It's coming home.
Oh, my God. I don't know who these guys are, but we're going to kill so many of them.
Help their parents.
Raiders of the Lost Continent is a Glass Cannon Network production. The Glass Cannon is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Ruins of Azlant is copyright 2017. Ruins of Azlant and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.